we'll begin reading at verse number 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Everybody say that he pleased God. Amen. He pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Enoch had a testimony that he pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. And so we're going to continue in a study. We're working on spiritual aspects. We've talked about a foundation. We talked last week about recognizing, admitting, and engaging the enemy. And tonight I want to talk about faith and prayer. Amen. Faith and prayer. Amen. And I am going to break these apart later on. But tonight I want to talk about the power that is invested in the two together. You got to have it. Amen. The Bible said that Enoch pleased God. And we know that you cannot please God without faith, because it's impossible to please him without faith. For he that cometh to God must believe. Must believe. There's the first part. And then diligently seeking after him. Amen. Praise God. So we're going to talk about faith and prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we love you. We sure do appreciate what we feel here tonight. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness. God, for the liberty that we have felt in this place. We pray, God, that it would continue on through the remainder of this service. Be magnified in this word. Let this word fall upon the good grounds of our hearts. Help us, God, to be responsive unto it. Lord, help us, O Lord Jesus, God, not to be hearers only, but to be doers of the word as well. And we'll give you praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. And God bless you. You may be seated. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Amen. Amen. We had a wonderful Bible study last night. Amen. And if you are, I won't say struggling, but if you are unsure concerning fundamental doctrines, basics and such, then you want to make sure that you're in those. We don't do them every week. Right now, we're just doing it every other week. And that'll help you shore up some doctrinal things. And so we're looking forward to that. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And I'm looking forward to Sunday morning, Brother Worth's preaching to us. If that be the will of God, we want it. And looking forward to that as well. Praise God. But tonight, it's just dead, dull, boring Bible study. Praise God. So, amen. Let's talk a little bit about these. Faith is nothing that should be new to us. Faith is probably one of the biggest, most important words in the Christian's vocabulary. We could talk about being born again. We could talk about baptism. We could talk about some things. But I would venture to say that faith is probably a word that many people would use to sum up the entirety of the Bible. Amen. Faith. And you probably would not be wrong. I would tend to look at obedience, which would encapsulate faith as well. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So that's kind of almost like a commandment that we've got to have faith and we've got to be obedient. He that is a hearer of the word, and not just a hearer, but also a doer of the word, amen, is the wise man. And James said that we ought not to be just hearers of the word, but we ought to be doers as well. Praise God. And so we've got to be obedient. But nevertheless, faith is a very, very important topic. I would say that you cannot even get the Holy Ghost without faith. You've got to have faith. Somewhere or another, you've got to believe in all of this. This is a spiritual This is a spiritual walk. Every person here tonight, you've got a soul. That soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. And it is the adversary's directive. It is his desire to try to get you to be lost. And he's going to do whatever he can to cause you to be lost. But you have an advocate. Amen. Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is for you. And if God be for us, then who can be against us? And so you've got a God that is for you. Amen. You've got an adversary that is against you. And so it would behoove you to stay as close to the advocate, as close to the God of heaven, amen, as you possibly can, so that you can do your very best to secure your place in heaven's population and on the heaven's roll. Amen. Praise God. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Amen. I said, I want to be saved. Amen. And if I'm going to be saved, I better have some faith. Because there are things that are going to come against me that's going to try to tear me down. And if I don't have faith in God, then these things are going to succeed. Amen. Just because that I am a preacher does not mean that I've got it made. Hallelujah. The Bible teaches us that if he can smite the shepherd, then the sheep will scatter. And so in some wises, it may be a little bit tougher. Amen. But nevertheless, the devil wants all of us. I said he wants all of us. Amen. And he's going to do whatever he can to try to destroy you. Is there anybody here tonight that wants to go to hell? Nobody wants to go to hell. Amen. So we all want to be saved. We all want to go to heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. You better have some faith in God, that God is able to keep you. That God is able to keep the things that he has committed unto you, amen, until that perfect day. That God is able to bring you out of all of the mess that the enemy would try to swamp you with. Amen. We're living in a day and an hour when I would say that probably one of our biggest enemies, I'm just going to say it tonight. Amen. We're living in a day and an hour when probably one of our biggest enemies is, and it is even going to get stronger and stronger, and you better have faith to come against it, is a spirit of depression. Amen. The pharmaceutical world makes millions, amen, treating people for depression. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you can fall into a funk. Amen. And you really don't even know what's going on. And you're just down. You're sad. You have no reason. Or you may have a few reasons and such like that. Amen. But that is the way that the devil pulls you down. Because I'm telling you right now that when you are depressed, you will have no worship. When you are depressed, you're not going to have any liberty. When you are depressed, you're not going to have any praise. All you're going to have is sackcloth and ashes. All that you're going to have is woe is me and poor me. And look at everything that I've got to go through. Because the enemy knows how to accentuate the negative, amen, and cause the positive to be belittled. Hallelujah. And so somewhere or another, you've got to get a hold of the Spirit of God, and you've got to rise up above that depression. Amen. I would venture to say that probably everybody in here at some point in time, if not at some point in time this week, amen, has been faced with the spirit of depression. All you got to do is read the news. All you got to do is look at the coworkers. Amen. I drove into I'm trying to remember where it was. I drove into Brahms not too long ago, and I paid at the first window and drove up to the second window, and I looked and I was waiting, and somebody came, and I thought to myself, oh my God, he's coming back soon. And I looked, I mean, she got makeup and designs painted on her face and stars and glitters and all this other wild stuff and everything. And I just think to myself, amen, of how bad this world is becoming.
When I was growing up, we had a man that a boy that came to school one day, and he had his left ear pierced. And I'm telling you, it was a shell shocker to everybody. I mean, we were all looking around. We were all standing in a corner whispering to each other, hey, man, is he a homo? And we were, I mean, because that was a sign and everything. And we were talking, you know, this was just a big deal that a boy would have an earring. Amen. Today, you got boys wearing dresses and high heels and makeup, amen, and professing to be girls and the whole nine yards. And it's just growing more wicked. And wicked by the hour and by the day. There's something else that comes up. Amen. And then all this other stuff starts happening. I want you to know that your only joy is going to be in the Holy Ghost. That your only hope is going to be in the church. You better take advantage of every time that you come to church. When you come into the church and you can feel the presence of God like has been in this place tonight, you ought to have your hands in the air. You ought to be talking in tongues. You ought to be waving back and forth, jumping up and down, and getting every bit of Holy Ghost that you can possibly get, because tomorrow you're going to face the exact same thing. But when I come into His presence, everything else has got to stay on the outside. In His presence, His fullness of joy, and at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. When I come into the house of God and I fellowship with the saints of God, there's not a more joyful time. There's not a more peaceful time. There ought not to be a more happy time than to feel, experience the presence of God Almighty.
Is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. I'm feeling my Wheaties tonight. Amen. Help me. Hallelujah. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hallelujah. The bank account is still empty, but I still have faith. The job may be going downhill, but I still have faith. The bills may be piling up, but I still have faith. It's a crying shame when we have faith. Amen. Or I'm just going to rephrase that. It's a crying shame when we've got more belief, amen, that the bad is going to happen to us than the good is going to happen to us. It's a crying shame when we come to the house of God and we say, well, it's a possibility that God could heal me tonight. Amen. We ought to come with a mindset that says, hey, I'm going to get healed tonight. Tonight is my night. I'm telling you, God can do more things than the enemy can do. Amen. The Bible still teaches, amen, that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. The Bible still teaches that all power belongs to Him, both in heaven and in earth. Hey man, don't let that devil lie to you and tell you that this is just the way of life. I'm going to believe until the day that I die. Hey man, that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. I don't have it yet. Amen. It's not that I have an answered prayer yet. The prayer still is probably it's not answered. The problem isn't solved. The dilemma isn't gone. The trial is still there. The test, amen, is still there. But I have faith that God is going to bring me through this. That God is going to deliver me. That God is going to do the work that needs to be done. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Faith is not. Lord, if you would have shown up 4 days ago, he could have been healed. Amen. Circumstantial faith. Amen. Possibility is the enemy of faith.
Well, you know, it's possible that it'll happen. Amen. Amen. You need to get rid of that word when it comes to God, when it comes to the... Amen. Well, it's possible that God could heal. It's possible that God could work out. Amen. You know what? It is possible. But if that's the way that you feel about it, if that's the way you want to speak about it, amen, it's probably possible that you're not going to get your answer. But when you have faith in God and you have nothing to show for it, the substance of things hoped for... I don't understand why you're still going to that church. I don't understand why you're still praying that prayer. I don't understand why you're still doing that. Because I have faith in God. God will not leave me. God will not forsake me. God will not hang me out to dry. And though, amen, he slay me, yet will I trust him. How many of those that was looking for a city, amen, and doing all kinds of things, amen, and they kept the faith and was written down in Faith's Hall of Fame, but they never obtained the promise. They never saw the city. They never got their answer. Their children died. Amen. They refused, amen, to accept deliverance. They were fed to the lions. Amen. They were burned at the stake. They were sawn asunder. But friend, when they laid on that altar, they still had faith. God, I know that if you want to, you can bring me up off of this at this very moment. They never doubted God. Hey, child of God, God's never failed you. God's never come up short. Why do you have such a problem with what he's doing now? Just let God work and let God be God. Oh, give the Lord the praise here tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The atmosphere is getting volatile in this place tonight. Why? Because the enemy hates faith. Because the enemy knows that when you have faith, the impossible becomes possible. Hallelujah. When you have faith, he has no hold. When you have faith, he does not control. Amen. He can try to stifle your praise. But when you have faith, you let that praise come forth anyhow. And God will not be beholden unto you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. Faith is coming every service and saying, I believe that somebody's going to get the Holy Ghost tonight. You say, Pastor, there's nobody here that needs the Holy Ghost. Amen. They could walk in right now. I said they could walk in right now. They could walk in at an altar call. I've seen it happen many times that after the preaching even begins, that somebody walks in and they hear the word of God and they come to an altar. I was 16 years of age and preaching my first revival, preached the entire message, gave the altar call, and the back door opened up and a man ran to the altar. He had been sitting outside the whole time. You don't know what God's got in store. You don't know what God is doing. Just got to keep having faith. Just got to keep having faith. Having faith, having faith, having faith. Amen. The devil doesn't want you to have faith. Amen. With faith is going to come victory. Amen. With faith, there goes your depression. Amen. With faith, there goes, amen, your despondency. With faith, you can do anything. With faith, he said, you could say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it shall be so. Praise God. Amen. You know what this is right here? This is faith building. You know why? Because that's what the Bible said. The Bible said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so here's God tonight. He's knocking on your heart's door. Amen. And he's got some faith that he wants to give away. Amen. He's not in the business of selling it. Amen. He's ready to give it to you. Amen. What am I saying? He's ready to do something for you. Amen. He's ready to show up in your life. He's ready for you to step out. Amen. So that he can do something in your life. And here comes the preaching. And all of a sudden you feel something in your heart that begins to pitter-patter a little bit. And you think, thinking to yourself, maybe, could it be? I'm here to tell you tonight, yes, it can be. Absolutely, it can be. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Oh, let's love Him today. Hallelujah. He's here tonight. He's here tonight. Go ahead. Go ahead. Let your faith reach out. Let your faith take the wings, amen, and spread forth and fly like an eagle. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Church that is full of faith, amen, is a revival church. A church that is full of faith is an unstoppable church. Amen, the devil's got to take your faith before he can stop you. The devil's got to take the church's faith before he can stop the church. With faith, everything is possible. Hallelujah. It's got to be more than just preaching. Amen. Preaching alone is not going to do it. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter number 4, amen, that unto us the gospel was preached as well unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. It was the same word that was preached unto us. It was preached unto them as well, but it did not profit them. How come it profited me? Amen. He gives us the answer. He said, because it was not mixed with faith. Hallelujah. Amen. I can preach your answers tonight. I can preach you happy tonight. But somewhere or another, you got to take it and apply it to your life. Somewhere or another, you got to reach out and accept it. And I want to tell you tonight, it's almost that easy. Amen. Because there is a God, amen, that wants to do exceeding abundantly above all in your life. There is a God that wants to bless you. Oh, yes, He does. I'm not into this blab it, grab it, pie in the sky stuff. Amen. But do not tell me that my Heavenly Father, amen, does not want to bless me. I said, God wants to bless you. God wants you to have the best job. Amen. God wants you to have a strong, happy family. God wants you to have a good life. Amen. Being a pauper here on earth doesn't make you more spiritual. God wants to bless you so that you can bless His kingdom. Hallelujah. God, so however that it is, whatever that it is, I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm going to walk your path. I'm going to let you lead me and direct me. I'm going to let you direct my paths. I'm going to let you order my steps. And whatever you decide, whatever happens in life, God, I'm going to claim it as your will. And if it's not your will, you've got something better for me. Mix it with faith. Mix it with faith. Mix it with faith. Amen. That's what faith is. Amen. You got to mix it with faith. Praise God. Too many times preaching falls upon deaf ears. Praise God. Get to preaching and people just sit there. I don't know what you want me to do. I mean, you want me to come down there, put my finger on your nose and say, thus saith the Lord? I'm doing that. I'm just not putting my finger on your nose. Somewhere or another, you've got to believe it. This is my word. This is my word. Woo! I feel the Holy Ghost in that tonight. Amen. Some of you need to do just that. Amen. This is my word. This is my word, and say, man, this is good preaching for Sister Cowan. Amen. Don't let her get the blessing all. Amen. You stand up and say, this is my word. This is my word. I'm believing this, God. I'm taking this to the bank. This is my word, God. Thank you. Thank you. I believe it. I accept it. It's mine. Praise God. Amen. Deaf ears. Deaf ears. Deaf ears, amen, sometimes have more power than a heart of unbelief. Amen. How many sinners come in with a heart of unbelief, but they have ears to hear? And then something happens, and they get up and they come to the altar, pricked in their hearts, and they come and they make things right at an altar of repentance. Hallelujah, from a heart of unbelief. But deaf ears just sit there. Nah, won't hear anything. you wouldn't hear judgment. You won't hear faith. You won't hit deaf ears. Amen. Has a potential to destroy a lot of things in our life. Hallelujah. But instead of having deaf ears, amen, I want to have open ears. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit hath to say unto the church. He that heareth the word and doeth it, to him it is like a wise man. Amen. Every time there is preaching, amen, I want to hear it. I want to believe it and I want to accept it. Every time there is preaching, I want to apply it to my life. Praise God. Amen. I don't know if you understand what that means, but I'm telling you right now, if I fall under conviction, it's because I preach myself under conviction. Amen. I can preach you under conviction, but can I preach myself under conviction? Amen. I just want you to know that if I'm going to be saved, I better preach myself under some conviction. I better preach myself into the altar. Amen. I better preach myself straight. Amen. Praise God. I want to be saved. I don't want the devil coming around stealing my faith. I don't want the devil coming around and driving me into misery and driving me in depression. I've got the Holy Ghost. Amen. And with joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation. You know why you have no joy? Because the enemy has stole it. But David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Praise God. Clap your hands to the Lord today. Amen. Faith trumps possibilities. Amen. Faith trumps possibilities. We need to get out of that mindset. Well, it's possible we'll have a good church service tonight. Well, it's possible. Amen. We might see somebody get the Holy Ghost. Well, it's possible that, you know, something might happen tonight. When you get rid of that mindset, amen. I just ask you the question, who's greater, the devil or God? God is. So our faith ought to be, amen, we're going to have good church tonight. And let's come in and let's do more than just expect it. Let's make it happen. Let's make it happen. Hallelujah. I think God wants us to do more than just meditate on Him at times. There's a lot of it. That's what we get into this mode of just meditating. You're upset at me because I've been meditating for 10 seconds. How does God feel the moment? And that's what we do. We don't open our mouth. We don't give Him praise. We don't declare His glory. We just sit there and just meditate. Oh, I'm just enjoying Jesus. Well, Jesus wants to enjoy you. Well, I'm just enjoying what I feel. Jesus wants to enjoy what you can cause Him to feel. Jesus wants to bless you. But you need to bless Him. Well, I can't bless Him. David said, I will lift my hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. You bless the Lord every time you raise your hands. Every time you shout hallelujah, amen. Every time you start dancing and praising His name in the dance. You say, I don't believe that. Well, you're wrong. Because let me tell you what's going on in the spiritual world. When you raise your hands and you begin to magnify God, lifting your voice, amen, and praising God, I believe that Jesus stands up and He looks down there and He says, hey, devil, look at this. You tried, but you didn't get them. And then here you go and you start worshiping and praising His name and the dance. Amen. And the Lord is looking saying, devil, you see that? Yeah, you thought you had them sewn up with depression. That don't look very depressing to me. I think they still got joy. I think they still got the victory. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But when you sit there, the devil's like, hey, you see that? They ain't got any joy. I got them. They don't have any victory. Look at them. They're just sitting there. Hey, we got more Bible. We got more Bible to praise His name than we do to just sit there. Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. The Bible says, praise His name in the dance. The Bible says, praise His name, amen, with string instruments and organs, with the high-sounding cymbals, the low-sounding cymbals, amen, amen. The Bible says, this honor hath all the saints. You've got a right to praise Him. You've got a right to rejoice. You've got a right to lift your voice. Simply because God has been good to you, but you're showing Him, hey, God, you brought me this far, and I believe you're going to bring me all the way through. All the way through. Hallelujah. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence with that great recompense of reward. Amen. Don't get rid of your confidence. You've had faith in God up to this point. Don't stop now. There's reward that's coming. You know what He said? He said, you just need to have patience. You just need to have patience. In that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. The problem is you want it right now. Right now. God, I want it right now. Mary and Martha, you ain't getting it right now. As a matter of fact, I'm going to stay right here until He dies. Then you cast away your confidence. Well, I used to believe that God could do it, but you know what? Everything didn't turn out the way that I thought it was going to turn out. And the Bible simply says, you just need to have patience. And after that you have done everything that God has asked you to do, after you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. The promise. The promise. The promise. Come on, He's made you some promises. Amen. Don't get huffy and mad and upset and despondent when the promise hasn't come through when you think that it ought to come through. Amen. You just wait. I promise you God's going to get the glory in all of it. I promise you, amen, God's going to have the last say-so in it. There's just something that's happening. There may be an answer that's on its way that God heard on the first day, but there may be something else that God is working on, and it's got to die for 4 days so that He can get the glory out of it. Just keep the faith. Just keep the faith. Just keep the faith. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. Praise God. Keep the faith. Hallelujah. Oh, let's worship Him here tonight. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I am expecting, believing God to do mighty, mighty works. Mighty, mighty works. You can be seated. I just felt this, just trying to feel out what direction that the Lord would have me to go. And I just felt this is something that God has been dealing with me about. Several years ago, I had a dream. And in that dream, we were pastoring there in Katy, Texas. And in that dream I had, we were having pre-service prayer. And as we were praying, the Holy Ghost was there. And as we were praying, the church began to fill up. It just began to fill up. And I remember just going through pre-service prayer and just kind of walking. And I looked and I was like, wow, there's quite a few people here. And I kept on praying. I looked up and it's like the house was full. We hadn't even started church yet and the house was full. And it wasn't full of sinners either. There were people there. They were saints. There were some sinners there and stuff like that. But I'm telling you, it filled up just like that. Bam. I mean, just within, in this dream, it was pre-service prayer. So 30 minutes of time. In 30 minutes of time, we started prayer. It was just the few that was there. But within 30 minutes, the house was completely full. It was full. And so I believed that God was going to do that. I did. I truly believe that. I believe that God was going to give us that type of revival there. And that's what I pushed for. I pushed for it the entire time. Things didn't happen. It didn't work out, all right? And I'm not blaming God for anything like that. And there's a lot that goes with that story. But anyway, upon resigning that church, I resigned that dream as well. I resigned it. And I prayed and I said, God, I said, just believe that. I still believe, you know, even though I'm not here, I still believe that you could do that. I believe that you could fill this church up relatively quick. And so what I'm saying is I never stopped having faith in that. Even all the way up to the point that I'm leaving. I'm on my way out of town. And I still believe, God, this, you know, believe with God, that's. And so not too long ago, I was praying with him, probably within the last month. I was praying and just talking to God about some things. And the Lord brought something to my attention. He said, that's your dream. That's your dream. And I started thinking about that. And I said, okay, God, you're going to have to help me. I'm not for sure that I understand what this dream is. You know, this is my dream. Okay, this is my dream. What is it? And God just kind of impressed upon me. He said, that's not Katie's dream. That's your dream. And I want to tell you something. I grabbed it at that moment. I mean, I'm talking about, you ever played slapjack? Yeah, that's as fast as I grabbed it. I grabbed it that fast. I said, I got it. That's my dream. That's my dream. I claim it. That's my dream. God gave that dream to me. I saw it. I'm claiming that dream. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. There's been a lot of patience that's had to go into that. But God gave me a dream. And I'm going to hold on to that dream. And you know what I'm going to preach? I'm going to preach two things. I'm going to preach pre-service prayer and I'm going to preach revival. Amen, because it was in pre-service prayer that the church began to fill up, and I feel like that's a key element, amen, that when we get connected in the Spirit, I'm telling you, if we start having red-hot apostolic pre-service prayer, amen, our services will follow suit. You're not going to have red-hot apostolic pre-service prayer and then have dead church. Amen. I just wonder how many here, amen, will jump on board and say, hey, I'll be here to start part of that fire in pre-service prayer. I'll be here to do my part. I'm not going to come and let somebody else push it. Amen. Carry the load or anything else. I'm going to find a place to pray. And I'm going to turn up the heat. I'm going to pray for revival. I'm going to pray for liberty. I'm going to pray for good church. I'm going to pray that somebody gets the Holy Ghost. I'm going to pray for revival again. I'm going to pray that the will of God would be done. And that the promise of God would be carried out. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. And there's not a devil in hell that can make me, amen, not believe it. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know if you feel it like I'm feeling it here right now. Amen, but I'm telling you, it's more than a possibility. There's a promise that is out there. And I believe that God is going to give us some more promises. I believe that my promise is going to coincide and tie in with somebody else's promise. Amen, somebody else's vision is going to say, hey, that matches my vision. I'm telling you, there is something powerful that God wants to do. But there's got to be a resurrection of faith. It's got to be more than just a possibility. We got to put our faith in Jesus. We got to act like it. We got to claim it. We got to proclaim it. This is the will of God. Praise God. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. But there is something that goes further than all of that. We know that faith is extremely powerful. Faith is powerful. But there's something else that is extremely powerful, and that is prayer. That is prayer. And we must pray. We cannot forsake prayer. Cannot forsake prayer. I've seen churches that have forsaken prayer. And when you forsake prayer, you have to rely on talent. You have to rely on talent when you forsake prayer. You know why they bring in smoke machines? Because the real presence of God is not there. It's just they're trying to imitate it. You know why they got to bring in flashing lights and all that other stuff? Because the real presence of God is not there. Amen. They've got to conjure up a move. When I say that word conjure up, it makes me feel something like witchcraft. Conjuring up a spell. When I worship God, He shows up. I don't have to conjure Him up. He shows up. Amen. Praise God. And prayer tunes us into the spiritual, into the heavenlies. Prayer causes us to be able to understand. And there's a lot of times that we don't understand. We don't understand what's going on. But it gives us the confidence. It gives us the confidence. It gives us the assurity. It gives us the peace that we need to continue to walk by faith. Prayer has a tremendously powerful ability. When the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, to take him and to try him, they came and they bound him, and Peter pulled out his sword and cut off the ear of Malchus. Jesus told him, said, "Put away your sword, Peter." He said, "You know what? Your sword is not going to bring deliverance." He said, "Do you not think that I could pray?" And Jesus said, "I'm telling you right now, Peter, I could pray, and I could have 12 legions of angels come down and deliver me right now. I don't need your sword. I could pray." And He ripped the veil, allowing us to look in to see the ability and the power of prayer. And all he has to do is pray. And 12 legions of angels could come down. I believe that that's not just the power that Jesus Christ would possess, but I believe that that's the power that we can possess through prayer. That when we pray, things happen. You say, "Well, I don't know if I believe that." Hey, where's your faith? I'm talking to an element that we tend to have faith up to a certain point. And then at that certain point, well, we pull back. And that's what the writer said there in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. Cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense. He said, my soul hath no pleasure in them that pull back. Woo, Jesus, I'm gung-ho about this. Woo, whoa, wait a second. I mean, I didn't want to go that far. So your faith has limits. You've got limits on God. Well, I mean, God, I mean, I know that you can do this, but this, I mean, I believe that you can. You could probably do it for somebody else, but I don't know that you could do it for me, that you would do it for me. Yeah, you know, it's limited faith. And because it's limited faith, it's limited prayer. This is the truth. Because Jesus said that, do you not know that if you would pray, you could be able to say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it would be so? What he is saying is, there's no boundaries if you won't limit God. But if you're only willing to pray up to this, well, and he says, my soul hath no pleasure. He's either God of all, or he's not God at all. And so, sometimes you may have to go to a lion's den. Sometimes you may have to go into the fiery furnace. But what brought them out? Prayer and faith. We're going to tie the two together here in just a second. But the power of prayer. Jesus said that you would be able to ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. He's saying that there's no possibilities. There's no, no. Everything is possible when God is involved. Everything. Nothing shall be impossible for God. But we limit God. I give you 11,000 feet, God, and when we go beyond that, I think I'd rather stay low. You are with me even until the end of the earth. But you understand that there is this all-powerful God that desires to show off. God, what are we going to do? I mean, look, this is a Red Sea. Take your rod. Just pray. That's what Moses was doing. He was talking to God. Hey, we need you, Jesus. He didn't know him as Jesus. We need you. What's going on? Do you not see? We got a problem. I got a Red Sea. Lord said, I know. I'm the one that told you to come this way, was I not? I already knew that there was a Red Sea. I created it. All right, then what are you going to do about it? You got faith that I can do something? Yes. Stretch forth your rod. And God showed off. Jordan River overflowing its banks. God says, just step out. That's all I'm asking. Just step out. Okay. And they stepped out and God just walk around these walls. Are you sure? Just walk around them. All right. Now when you hear the trumpet sound, you know the trumpet was always that the watchman would stand on the walls and he would sound the trumpet. And if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare themselves to the battle? And so that was indicative of preaching. He said, when you hear the preaching, when you hear the trumpet sound, shout. There's mixed with faith right there. I believe it. I accept it. This is mine. And when they did, when they began to shout, amen, that preaching came forth and it began to deal with their problem. And when they began to shout unto God, amen, God just, and the walls came tumbling down. And just like God showing off. Daniel, if you pray, you're going to be thrown into a lion's den. I'll pray. And he prayed, and he got thrown into a lion's den, and God showed off. You kitty kitties, keep your mouth shut. Say, well, they just weren't hungry. Well, they were really hungry the next morning. Because when the others got thrown in there, they got destroyed. If you bow down to the music, then you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Well, then I'll be thrown into the fiery furnace. And into the fiery furnace they went. But the Lord showed off and showed up right in the middle of it. And the king said, I thought we threw three in here, and how is it that I see four? Is somebody having faith in God? Somebody believing in God? Amen. Praise God. Oh, but I believe that somebody was praying. We know that Daniel was praying. We know that Daniel was praying. Amen, amen, amen. The Bible teaches us in the book of Acts chapter number 4 that when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Amen. He said, when they had prayed, the place was shaken. What is this mentality of, amen, we're going to come to church and the musicians are going to pipe it up and they're going to shake the place and we're going to respond to that. Amen. That didn't happen. When they prayed, the place was shaken. When they had prayed, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting. They had to have patience for about 7 days, but they prayed. And God fulfilled the promise that was given. And they prayed, they prayed, they prayed. Amen. Amen. Paul told us that we ought to pray without ceasing. Amen. Praise God. That's not necessarily 24 hours a day on your knees. Amen. But that we ought to be in a season of prayer. Amen. About us all the time. Some of us don't even remember we go to church until Wednesday night and Sunday. We don't even remember that we're Pentecostal. Amen. We don't even remember God. Amen. That's what the Bible said. He said, can a maid forget her attire? Amen. A bride forget her attire, a maid her ornaments? And amen. He said, my people have gone for days. Amen. Have forgotten me for days without number. Amen. God forgive us for the times that we go from Monday, from Sunday until Wednesday and we never pray. Amen. From Thursday through Sunday and we never pray. There ought to be a breath of prayer about us at all times. Amen. Just driving down the road. Oh God, I love you today. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. And not just that. Amen. But when we make that time to pray, that we set aside time to get into His presence, and we say, God, I just want you to know that you've been good to me, and I'm very, very thankful for that. Oh God, I just want to bless you and praise you and help you. Amen. In any way that I can, to glorify your kingdom. I wonder how many problems we would not have if we could just pray. We just prayed. Amen. Some of you are struggling. Some of you got some issues. You're just struggling with things. But when's the last time you really spent some time praying about it? I'm not talking about a woe is me prayer. I'm not talking about a Mary and Martha prayer. Lord, if you'd have been here 4 days ago. I'm talking about really praying, talking to God. You know, sometimes God wants us to get unfocused off of ourselves and see if we can focus on somebody or something else. Hey, I've been guilty of that. I've been guilty of that. Praying, God, you got to help me do this. God, you got to help me do that. God, help me over here. God, I got this problem. God, I got that problem. You know, stuff. And I spent 30 minutes just praying for myself. God, forgive me for just praying for myself. That's selfishness. I want to pray for others. Pray for other things. Praying about all this, and God says, hey, don't forget the fields. God, forgive me. God, don't let me forget the sinners. Don't let me forget about revival. Let's move on. Amen. Praise God. Spiritual Spiritual battle requires spiritual ways. Amen. I know what time it is. I got a little clock right here. That don't mean anything, but I got one up here. Amen. Spiritual battles require spiritual ways. No wonder we can't fight apostasy and deception and carnality with our own weapons in a physical fight. And there is an intensity that it ought to be involved in prayer. Hello? There is an intensity that ought to be involved in prayer. Well, I just don't understand why you got to be so intense in praying. Bible said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise God. I understand that there's times of meditation that we need to sit there and we need to let God do some talking. Let God do some inspiring. Let God do some moving upon us. I understand that. But you know, there's a lot of time, but that's not all the time. We need to be talking to God. We need to be praying. We need to be seeking God. Amen. Some of you make me nervous. You're sitting there just watching me or watching others while they're praying. Amen. Praise God. Help us pray. Help us pray. We're in this together. We're in this together. Let's intensify it. Let's show God we're serious. God's serious. God's serious about saving souls. I want to show him I'm serious too. Amen. Praise God. And so if we're going to be in a spiritual battle, then we got to do spiritual exploits. He told us to watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. You just said, that's why I'm watching. I heard you. Watch and sights the enemy. Pray and fights the enemy. You can see the enemy coming, but you better do some praying to fight against that enemy. Amen. Prayer is not just another weapon, but it's part of the actual conflict where the victory is won for ourselves and for others working together with God. And to fail to pray diligently with all kinds of prayers in all situations is to surrender to the enemy. If you don't pray, you're surrendering. I need to say that again. If you're not praying, you're surrendering. If you're not praying, you are at the table of surrender. Trying to barter it out. Work out all the details. Amen. If you're praying, you're fighting. Amen. You need to be praying. Amen. I'm telling somebody in the Holy Ghost tonight, you need to start praying. You need to start praying. You need to get on your knees. You need to start praying. Praise God. You're in a battle. You're in a fight. And you're not winning. Amen. Because you're not praying. You're not praying. You better start praying. You need to start praying. If you are going to overcome the devil, you've got to pray. You're not going to overcome the devil by your dress code. Your dress code has already failed you. You're not going to overcome the devil, amen, because that you didn't cuss today. Because there's times that that may fail you. You're going to overcome the devil because you pray. You've got to pray. Amen. You've got to pray. Look at Jesus when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He was in a battle. And he invited people to help him pray. He said, come, let's go a little ways and let's pray. Understand, he was not in meditation. Understand, he was not in a lay me down to sleep prayer. The Bible said that he was praying so hard that his sweat became as great drops of blood. Friend, he was fixing to go to Calvary. And he was in a fight. I want you to know that he fought harder when it came to the works of the flesh than when it came to the works of the devil. Matthew chapter number 4, after 40 days of prayer and fasting, the devil came up to him and began to tempt him. And Jesus just simply said, "It is written," and bam, it was over. But when it came to fighting his flesh, we find him in the Garden of Gethsemane, amen, praying and sweat pouring down his face until it becomes great drops of blood. And what is he saying? He's saying, "Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Great agony. His flesh was fighting, saying, "I don't want to go to Calvary. I don't want to experience that death. I don't want to do that." But amen, the will of the Spirit was there, saying, "Not my will, but your will be done." An hour went by and he woke up the disciples. "What you sleeping for? Come on, can you pray with me for an hour?" Amen. He went back and he began to pray. Amen. And he came back and he found them asleep again. He said, "Sleep on." And a third time he went back to pray. I'm telling you, it's not a 5-minute prayer. It's not a 15-minute prayer. It probably wasn't an hour prayer. Amen. But there was something that was being waged in the spirit. There was a battle that was being waged in the spirit. If you're fighting the spirit, if you're fighting your flesh, if you're fighting carnality, if you're fighting pride, you better get in the spirit and you better pray and pray and pray. Amen. It would do you good to not just find a place to pray. Amen. To make some time to come by the church and to pray. You need to be disciplined in your prayer. Praise God. I didn't plan to preach all of this here tonight. Amen. But we got to have it. We got to have prayer. We cannot forsake prayer. We cannot forsake pre-service prayer. Well, glory to God. We cannot forsake pre-service prayer. There's a lot of churches that have forsaken pre-service prayer. Amen. They quit doing pre-service prayer. I've heard them say, "Amen, it doesn't work." It doesn't work because you don't want it to work. Because I'm telling you, it's not easy. Amen. You got to continually fight. You got to continually push. You got to continually press. Why? Because the devil knows that prayer is something that he doesn't win against very often. And if he can get you to stop praying, he can get a lot of other stuff. Devil, you're not getting our prayer. You're not getting our prayer. We're going to make sure that we are a praying church. We got to pray. We got to pray. We got to pray. We need to intensify our pre-service prayer meetings. Amen. We need to intensify our pre-service prayer meetings. Amen. And while I'm here, let me just go ahead and address it. Some of you young men, amen, I love you praying. I love you doing those things. Amen. But just make sure you're focused in prayer. Make sure you're focused in prayer. Amen. There's a possibility that we get to, amen, we start saying, "I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, God, sweet Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Jesus." And we're looking around and we're walking around and we're not focused and we're saying prayers. We're not praying prayers. We're saying prayers. We're saying, "And now I lay me down to sleep," amen, type of stuff. Amen. We need to focus our prayers. Amen. We need to focus our prayers. If you need to get down on your knees and focus your prayers, then do it. Amen. You do what, but don't just walk around and spend time. Let's pray until hell turns loose and all of heaven comes down. We got to make sure that we're prayed through before we can get sinners prayed through. Praise God. Amen, amen. For a saint of God to not pray is like a soldier going to war without a gun. And I don't know what I'm going to do now, because I'm just getting to part 3. And we're approaching the magical hour. But for a saint of God to not pray is like a soldier going to war with no gun. But to have no faith is like a soldier going to war with a gun with no bullets. You better pray, but you better have faith. Oh, yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is here tonight. God's helping us. God's helping us. God's helping us. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands and thank the Lord today. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to move through this very, very quickly. I'm not too far from being done. But there is a twining thread that puts prayer and faith together, that binds prayer and faith together. And there is a biblical principle. There is a biblical principle that ties faith and prayer together. Can you pray without faith? You can. You can. And Jude even said that we could build up our faith praying in the Holy Ghost. So you may not have a lot of faith, but you need to pray. And the more you pray, the more faith that you can have. But understand, it doesn't take a lot of faith. You had faith like of a seed of a mustard seed. You could say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and it shall be so. So it doesn't take a lot of faith. You just need some faith. And so the disciples were with Jesus one day, and Jesus cursed the fig tree because it didn't have any figs. And they came back by, and they were amazed because that the fig tree had withered away. They were amazed. They said, wow, look at this. And listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 21. Jesus answered them, and he said, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do the things which is done to the fig tree, but also ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. He didn't put any limitations on it. As a matter of fact, he took all the limitations off. He said, whatsoever you ask in faith, believing. Ask it. Prayer. I believe we need to pray. And we'll get to this further on down the road. But we need to pray according to the will of God. So it's not just saying, God, you said if I ask in faith, believing whatsoever that I would ask, you said that I could have it. God, I want a Lamborghini. It's probably not the will of God. You need to make sure you're praying according to the will of God. But if you're praying according to the will of God, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And if you will do this in faith, believing, your answer is going to be on the way. This is a principle that is here. Jesus exhorted us to pray. Matthew chapter number 7, he said, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. He goes on later on to say in the same chapter, Matthew 7 and verse number 11, he said, If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask him? That ask him. But you got to have faith. You got to have faith. Faith. When you go to pray, you need faith in that. The prayer of faith. What did he say in James? He said, is there any sick among you? Any afflicted? Let him pray. And he said, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And then he said this, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. There's prayer and faith tied together. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, just one verse later, he said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We've got to find that realm of effectual, amen, fervent prayer. Not just fervent prayer, but effectual fervent prayer. Effectual fervent prayer. Amen. Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, when thou prayest, when? In other words, there was a time. There was a time that was set aside. When thou prayest, Acts chapter number 3, when Peter and John went together to the temple at the hour of prayer. Amen. There was a certain hour of prayer. It's good for you to have a certain time of prayer. Amen. I'm not preaching, amen, that you got to pray, amen, at the same time every day. You eat typically close to the same time every day. There's a lot of things that you do at the same time every day. You even call some people at the same time every day. Amen. Praying, I'm just simply saying that it needs to be put on your schedule. It needs to be put on your schedule. You're not in the will of God if you're not making time to pray. This is what God wants. Understand, this isn't just what God wants for me. It's not just what God wants for you. It's not about you praying to help yourself. There are 10,000 people that are outside of these four walls right now that need Jesus. And us praying, getting off of ourselves, getting away from our selfishness, as we begin to pray for, there's a battle in the spirit. A colliding of good versus evil. Spirits being torn down. Principalities and powers casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Amen. There are principalities and powers and rulers. These are things that are being warred against in the spirit of prayer. There are people that are spiritually bound up and cannot do anything. But when the church begins to pray, the place is shaken. The jailhouse, amen, opens up. And people that used to be bound, all of them that was in the jailhouse were set free. And they started walking out and the jailer said, I'm done. And Peter said, hey, we are all still here. We've all been loosed. But we're all still here. And then the jailer is going to be confirmed. There is something about your prayer that when you begin to pray in the supernatural, amen, when you begin to pray in the spirit, there is something that's going on. Then God provide my needs. And God give me some money to pay my bills. And God provide this. God do this. God bless here. God touch here. God heal here. Hey, amen. Hey, there's something that's going on that God has said, I need somebody to pray. Amen. I need somebody to get on their knees and to pray. Hi, there's a war. Amen. There's a battle in the spirit. And I need somebody to gain up, to yoke up with that, and to battle in the spirit of prayer against this. We got to have faith. When you pray, enter into. So there needs to be a time and there needs to be a place. Enter into. You need a place. Peter and John went to the temple. And thy Father, here's the good part. We're getting ready to close. And thy Father, which seeth thee in secret. In other words, he sees you. Nobody else may see you, but that doesn't matter. Nobody else knows that you're praying. 4 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning or 9 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Nobody else has to know. But your Father sees you. That ought to comfort you. That doesn't just make the pastor happy. That comforts you. The know that when you kneel down to pray, God says, I see that. I see that. He sees it. He rewards it. But he cannot see what is not there. And he will not reward what is not there. But friend, as we stand here tonight, prayer is repetitive throughout all of Scripture of the power that is invested and involved in prayer. Prayer and faith. Amen. These that I'm going to run through here real quick tonight, you know why they prayed? Because they believed that God had their answer. If they didn't believe it, they wouldn't have brought it. Amen. You know why you haven't brought it? Because you don't believe it. But I'm encouraging you to step out tonight. I'm encouraging you to walk by faith tonight. Hannah's prayer brought about Samuel. Amen. Elijah prayed earnestly that it would not rain for 3.5 years. He believed that God could turn the rain off, and God did it. He prayed that God would pull down fire upon a wet sacrifice, and it happened. Why did he pray that? Because he had faith that God could do it. Elijah's prayer brought rain upon a land that was in drought. Elisha's prayer brought back life into a Shunammite's dead son. Hezekiah's prayer added 15 years to his life. Esther's prayer and fasting enabled her to go before the king without being killed. Daniel's prayer kept him from being eaten by the lions. Jonah's prayer got him out of the belly of a well. Jesus' prayer in the garden kept the flesh from getting in the way of the divine will of God. And Rahab herself, amen, what did she do when she looked at the two spies? Amen, she said it like this: I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. She had faith, amen, that the God of Israel that was fixing to destroy Jericho was able to preserve her. Friend, by the prayers that I have just talked to you about tonight, in the last 20 seconds, they are almost prayers of impossibilities, and God answered every one of them. Don't think that your prayer is minute. Don't think that your prayer is too small. Don't think that your prayer and your care is trivial. God cares about it all, and there is nothing that he cannot do. He simply wants you to bring it to him in prayer, in faith, believing. Let's love the Lord here tonight.